Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring. Boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Salt Lamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball is baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
I've said this for over 2 years now. Actually, I've said this for probably over 15, 20 years. There's nobody I'd rather be talking to right now than Jonathan Papelbon.
I say the same thing, Rob.
Yeah, well, sometimes I walked in that clubhouse. You weren't saying but how are you? Good? All good?
Doing good. How are you this morning?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm glad you're returning us, gracing us with your presence. Aware the straw that stirs a drink, the Baseball's and Boring podcast.
Yeah, man. You should feel really important right now. I'm up at early in the morning for you. I don't even do this for foul territory, Rob.
Well, first of all, of course you don't. Number one, if you're ever going to do anything, it's going to be the most powerful baseball podcast there is. And if you have any questions about that, Pat, why don't you give it a Google? Let's just say, okay. Give it a Google. All right.
All right.
Anyway, so today I am doing the exercise. I thought that you would be good at this because, unlike myself, you have been on the Hall of Fame ballot, right? Correct.
Correct.
How many votes you get?
I got 2%.
2%. You need 5% to stay on. But the fact that you were on it, I am going to build you up here, Pat. Congratulations. It's not a lot of human beings are on a Hall of Fame ballot. So yeah, it's a good feeling. But since you were on it, now I'm going to give you the payoff and the honor of having been on it by actually being a Hall of Fame voter. All right.
Okay.
I have, if people can't see this if they're listening, but I have in my hands the what they mail to you, which is the ballot. I'm going to blank out my address here. I'm going to blank it out.
Yeah, nobody wants to know where you live in that big
old
mansion.
I don't want people knowing. All right.
Yeah, you get too much money hidden in that mansion.
There's a moat around my house. It's very important. Nobody. All right. But there it is. That is the Hall of Fame. I'm showing the Hall of Fame ballot. It's mailed to me. And it was mailed to me, and I purposely didn't open it. 97 cents to mail something. Who knew? I purposely didn't open it because I was waiting for this moment to open it with you. so we could go through this together. All right?
All right. Let's do it together, Rob.
All right, here we go. I'm opening it, opening the ballot.
Now, let me ask you a question while you open this ballot.
Yep.
This is your actual Baseball Writers of America ballot.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This is it. This is
the real deal Holyfield.
What's up?
This is the real deal Holyfield.
Yes, it is. See, here's the return. They give you a return envelope.
Okay.
Oh, all right. There's a return envelope. They have the rules and the everything else. The rules.
We don't need the rules. Nobody.
No, we don't need the rules. They have. They have last year's voting percentages on it. David Wright. I didn't really. He got 6.2. So he stays on the ballot. There you go.
That's surprising.
Yeah. So Torrey Hunter also 7.3. Francisco Rodriguez. Like, Pap, I'm not just saying this because you're on. Like, if Francisco Rodriguez is staying on, you should have stayed on. So.
Yeah, well, the problem is that, you know, for me, I think, you know, if I'd have played one or two more years, 13 years, I don't think was enough. You know, I think I think in baseball especially, they look at longevity because baseball is supposed to be the longevity sport, you know. But, you know, I think also, too, it is so hard to make the Baseball Hall. It is the hardest one to make, in my opinion. I mean, we've been around. The game has been around twice as long as just about all the other sports.
Mm-hmm.
And we have about half the amount of members is football or basketball. So, you know, to me, I don't have a problem. You know, a lot of people will say, oh, let's get the new players to vote. I don't have a problem with, you know, who's voting. I have a problem with the standards that it does take and people – the standards that people think it takes to get in. I mean, to me, if you dominate a decade of sports, I think you should be in. I don't really care. But
that's and Pap, that, you know, that's how I've always liked to start it. And the guy, our good friend – is the perfect example of this. He ultimately got in, Jim Rice. I mean, he didn't play like 20 years, but for the time that he played, he was dominant. You know how I know? Because I think he finished in the top 10 in MVP voting like
every year.
Like, yeah, it was crazy. It was, you know, I think he might have finished in the top 5 in like, you know, 6 of 10 years or something like that. So, yeah, so I don't disagree with you. But let me real quick. To give people an idea. Well, last year obviously Beltre, Helton, and Maurer got in. Billy Wagner just missed 73. Just missed. You have to get 75%. He got 73.8%. So you have 10 years to get in. Billy Wagner is on his 10th year. Manny Ramirez on his 9th year. Andrew Jones, Omar Vizquel, 8th year. Indy Pettit, 7th year. Abreu, 6th year. Burley, Torrey Hunter, 5th year. 4th year is Alex Rodriguez and Jimmy Rollins. 3rd year, Carlos Beltran, Francisco Rodriguez. 2nd year, Chase Utley, David Wright. Now, and we have a bunch of first-year players. So, this is what I'm reading off of. Here is the ballot. The ballot where you check the boxes. Okay? All right. So what I want to do, Pap, so we're going to, I don't think you're going to max out at 10. You have 10 votes. You are voting. Okay. You have 10 guys that you can vote for. You can't vote for 11. So I'm going to go through, how do you want to do this? Do you want me just to rattle off the names on the ballot? Do you want me to give you the first year guys and go from there? What do you just rattle off the names on the ballot?
Start from the top, I'll tell you, yes or no.
Okay, start from the top. Alphabetical order.
Yeah, right. No, because we don't want to, you know, we don't want the fans to think that, you know, we're privileged any players. So we're just going to go alphabetical order. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you straight off the top of my head, Rob, because I did this on purpose. I did not look at the ballot, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going out off of just straight gut and instincts here.
Yeah, I would, not to interrupt you, but I think that's why I wanted to talk to you, have you do this, is because I can dive into the numbers, but you played against these guys. Like, we're at the era now where you've played against almost all these guys.
Played with them or against them.
Right, exactly. So you say, well, that's a Hall of Famer, that's a Hall of Famer, that's a Hall of Famer. You know, for instance, I give you, for instance, before I start, you know, Scott Rolen got in the Hall of Fame, and it was a large part, it was two things. It was longevity, and you couldn't ignore his WAR. People looked at WAR. He had a level of WAR, I think his WAR was 70. Nobody's who has that level of WAR isn't in the Hall of Fame. So he got in. But okay. I got texts from people who you played with said, what are you doing? Voted for Scott Rolen. And I get it. Like, I totally get it. So that's why I value your opinion, right or wrong.
Yes, it's all subjective. Okay. So to me, the media outlet looks at putting somebody in a way different than what players look at putting them in. So to me, you're big on WAR. Well, I'm big on BAR, you know? So, you know what BAR is?
What's that?
BAR.
I knew what BAR is. Like, go to a bar?
No. I'm talking about baseball stats.
What? Tell me.
Balls above replacement. So that means, does this guy have a bigger set of balls than the next guy? And to me, that matters. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just writing that down so I can make a T-shirt by the end of the week.
Okay.
Balls above, I love it. All right, here we go. This is going to be a great exercise. The player's perspective of voting for the Hall of Fame. All right, Bobby Abreu.
No.
Okay, Abreu. No. Close or no?
Close, but he's a middle of the road guy. I think that you know, it's not going to happen for him.
No, it's not. He's got 14.8% last year. He's on his sixth year. But he's still hanging in there. All right, next one, Carlos Beltran.
No.
Ooh.
Nope.
First shocker.
Yeah. To me, Carlos Beltran was always in a lineup where he had protection. He never really, to me, totally dominated or was a perennial all-star every year. He just happened to be on really good teams and was surrounded by a lot of good players.
All right. Okay. All right. Pitcher, our first pitcher, Mark Burley.
No.
All right. Burley.
You know, all that, I get it. You know, he was the cornerstone of their 2005 championship. But not this year. We think that in my circle, you know, I've talked to AJ Przinski about this. He will probably be a Jim Rice type candidate, a last hoorah maybe. It's going to take a few more years for him.
Yeah, he's got five more years on the ballot. So, but you know, last year he got last year he only got
8.3%. 7 or 8%.
Yeah, not great. But anyway, all right. The first year guy that we're going to mention, Carlos Gonzalez.
No,
that's not. No disrespect to the Gonzalez family, but no.
No disrespect to him, but to me, he was an easy out.
Yeah.
Especially in 2007.
All right. This guy falls under like a guy that you probably would want on your team, a really good player, but not really a Hall of Famer, Curtis Granderson.
Yeah, no. This is his first year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah, he probably won't be on next year.
All right, for another first-year guy, now it gets a little interesting, Felix Hernandez.
Yes.
Ooh!
That's two yeses so far. That's two guys so far.
Oh, it's one yes.
No.
Who else? You didn't have another yes. Abreu, Beltran, Burley, Gonzalez, Granderson. You all said no to.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, that's one yes. Felix Hernandez. So he was so good, man. He was so good.
Yeah, so I was talking about this with my son the other day. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? My son disagreed with me, but I just think that's because he played on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. When we would go watch this guy and I would see him run, I mean, just dissect our lineup with Manny, Mike Lowell, David Ortiz. I mean, when I saw those guys have no chance against him, I knew that was a special guy. And do I think he'll get on the first ballot? I don't think so.
No.
But he will be there. But my vote is a yes, because okay. This guy was an absolute stud for, I would say, at least 11, 12 years. I mean, he didn't really start falling off.
Yeah, you know, it's the only thing that hurt him is he fell off a cliff pretty hard.
He did fall off hard.
Yeah. But I'm, you know, all right, so I love it. Because people, if we wouldn't talk about dominance, he was so dominant. All right, another guy was, I think, falls under sort of the really good player, good guy to have around, Torrey Hunter. But not a Hall of Famer, right?
Not a Hall of Famer, no.
No, no.
Great teammate, great guy. To play against. Yeah, great clubhouse guy. I mean, I've always loved competing against him. But I don't know if he'll get to even the set. I don't know if he'll make it.
Well, no, he's already been. He's last year. He was as 7.3%. So he's been hanging in there. So he's in his fifth year. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's probably going to fall off next year.
Yeah. I mean, probably he's be off this year, honestly. All right. Another guy along those lines, Adam Jones, first year guy.
No.
Again, really good player. I mean, these guys.
Yeah. I mean, 12, 13 years, good player, but all you had to do was throw him a slider. I mean, you know, I love AJ, but I mean, he was a fun guy to compete against.
Yeah. All right, now it gets sort of interesting. So far, we've only gotten one yes. That's Felix Hernandez.
Felix so far, yeah.
What? Yeah. All right. A guy who I voted for, I have voted for, a guy who landed at 61.6% last year, so not that far away. A guy who's in his eighth year, so he only has a couple more years of doing this, is Andrew Jones. What do you got?
I have yes. And I'm going to say yes because, listen to me, the Atlanta Braves, okay, this is a lot of my formative baseball years I was watching the Braves. The Braves would have been nobody without this guy, man. You know, he manned down center field with pitchers like Glavine and Maddox and Smoltz. Smoltz was really the only one that was striking guys out daily. So these guys were putting the ball in play left and right. To me, those teams would have been nothing, absolutely nothing without Andrew Jones. Like, that's a fact. So to me, he should have been in way before this. And if he doesn't get in this year –
He's got a couple more years, but I think that more people like yourself have to be screaming this because he's a Hall of Famer.
No question.
And by the way, you realize almost a Red Sox, they almost traded for him.
I know.
Remember that?
I do remember that. Okay. Yeah.
I think Craig Hanson was going to be in the deal or something like that.
Yeah.
So, what could have been? All right. We got two yeses. I'm not going to argue with either one of them. Next one is another first-timer, Ian Kinsler.
No.
No. No.
Ian Kinsler? How does he even get on the ballot?
I don't know. He's on the ballot. He had a good career.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think he's ballot worthy, to be honest with you.
All right, well, the next one, maybe you think same way.
Pedroia, that's what he was.
Okay, well, we'll get to him in a second. Next one, you're probably going to say the same thing about Russell Martin.
No. Yeah, no. Just keep it going on him.
All right, another one, Brian McCann.
Well, you know, he's a little bit different than the last two to me because You know, he had staying power. I mean, for a catcher, he stayed in the game for 13, 14 years. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
But the problem is that nobody recognizes catchers, dude. What they have to go through and how hard that job is.
But that's why
go ahead.
No, I think that's why Joe Mauer, I think people understood that about Joe Mauer.
Yeah, but if they did that and they voted like per position, right? Not just a player, not just the overall player. Like the position of catcher is so much harder than every other position. So I think you have to give that a little bit of an edge.
Okay, Brian McCann's not in the Hall of Fame though.
I say no. Yeah.
Okay. All right, we've reached that time. We've reached that time.
What time is it?
It's Dustin Pedroia time.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
All right. All right, give me – here it is.
Hold on. He's calling me. Yeah, man. First ballot. I got you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, I mean, look, his resume speaks for itself, but you also throw in the championships with it, and I don't know how the writers will look at this. I think some will view championships, they mean more than others, but to me, I know how hard it is to win one, and you don't win any of those that we want without them. So, and what, 17, 18 years? How many did he end up with? Yeah, he was hurt towards the end.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it speaks volume. It's just like Kershaw. It speaks volumes to me when teams hold guys that they know are out of the game pretty much, but let's keep them around because they mean so much in this clubhouse. And the younger guys learn how to win from them. So, to me, that speaks volumes.
Also, yes. nobody Pedroia's level of bar is not.
Oh yeah, huge there. Bar.
He must have the biggest bar of everybody on this list.
Yeah, he's got a 10 when it comes to bar, and you can only go to 10.
All right. Well, okay. Pedroia in. So far, we got 3. All right, Andy Pettit.
Andy Pettit to me is going to be a tough one. I'm going to say yes.
Ooh.
I'm going to say yes. Okay. I know the steroids. I get all that. I know, but we had an apology bomb, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, everybody, you know, he's a Christian guy. I know that, you know, I'm sorry. I took the steroids. He manned up. Right. But to me, Rob, I don't give a shit whether you took steroids or not. I really don't. Now, I didn't take them because I didn't need them. I didn't feel like I needed them, and I didn't want to take that that chance, right? I didn't think the chance overweighed what I could do. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
But you got to understand, we were in an era of baseball that Andy Pettit came up in, where everybody was doing steroids. Everybody was sticking needles in their ass. I don't care who you were, right? There were a small percentage that did it. And good for you. Great. Congratulations. You stayed pure. But in a world where everybody was doing it, I don't care about the steroids. I really don't. Like, it's not going to help. Steroids don't help your hand-eye coordination. They maybe help you hit the ball a little farther, and they maybe help you recover from injuries a little bit quicker. But yeah, and they may help you throw the ball harder, but that doesn't allow you to place the ball any better. It doesn't allow your location to get any better. It doesn't allow your hand-eye coordination to get any better. So to me, I don't really care about guys that did steroids. I knew tons of guys that were doing steroids when I played. It didn't bother me, you know, but he's in. He's in.
He's in. It's funny because he is, let's see, he's in his seventh year. He's only gotten 13.5%. I think I'm shocked by that. I'm shocked that he isn't going to have a better case. But you know what? People like you maybe will get him in there. There you go. Well, we're going to get to some more of those steroid guys you're talking about. The Ramirez brothers, Hanley Ramirez, yes or no? I'm not saying he was never popped for steroids. I want to make that clear. A guy who has been popped for steroids, Manny Ramirez.
Yes.
He's in.
Manny is in. As much as he was up and down on his steroids and whatever he was taking, and he was, you know, pretty tough teammate to deal with at times, I don't give a shit. The man, you know, when he wanted to show up, he showed up. And when he didn't want to show up, he simply did it. It was that simple with Manny Ramirez.
It was. It's also, you know, one thing about him is the art of hitting with him was crazy. Like the shit that he did, like it sort of gets washed away with a lot of the steroid stuff and how wacky he was and how unreliable he was at times. But the stuff that he did as a hitter was insane. Like the eyesight stuff, the preparation, like all of it.
Nobody prepared harder as a hitter that I've seen than Manny Ramirez. And nobody had more just straight raw talent. Mm-hmm. To me, I'm going to say it. He's the greatest right-handed hitter I've ever seen.
Wow. All right.
And so I think he deserves to be on the Hall of Fame. Now, like I said earlier, the only ever problem I had with Manny, and it's been well documented, even in the comeback with the Netflix. I mean, come on, Manny. Like, you're just not going to show up today. That's the only problem we ever had with him. But I don't think anybody would disagree with me that he should be in the Hall of Fame, despite the steroids.
Yeah. You know? Well, he's not going to get in, Pat, but I voted for him. I think he should be in.
I think he should be in. And why do you say he's not going to get in?
Because he's in his ninth year, so he's got this year and next year left, and he's at 32.5%, and it's not going up. That's the problem. Is it sometimes if you're at 32.5% and you're in the first or second year, then fine.
Your goal.
It's too deep. People have dug in. All right. Fernando Rodney.
No.
Okay. I knew that was going to be a quick no. All right. Alex Rodriguez.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. And look. Alex is Alex, man. You know, there's another well-documented story with Alex and who Alex is. But to me, he was one of the hardest outs I've ever faced. Professional hitter, much like Manny Ramirez. I don't think he was as good as a right-handed hitter as Manny was as far as being able to sit on one pitch, being able to know what the pitcher was doing to him and all the kind of stuff that Manny did. But as far as just straight playing baseball, how can you say Alex Rodriguez is not one of the greatest?
And that's what I come back to, Pat. I mean, that's what I come back to. It's just like, it's baseball, man.
We're talking about baseball. Yeah, so I don't know how you don't put Alex. I think Alex got caught up in a lot of the you know, not wanting to admit he was on steroids. Now I want to say I am. Oh, wait, no, I'm not.
Listen, when if you ever watched the Balco documentary, when you're hiring people to hold signs outside, like signs of, like, I would love for to hire people to hold signs for me, but probably in his case, it wasn't a great thing. All right. Francisco Rodriguez, J-Rod.
I say yes. Ooh. I say yes. I say
all
yes.
Right. All
he's worked his way up and top 10 in the saves list, and I'm going to go on a limb for my fellow closer and get him in. You know, it's the, for closers, I feel like it's the exact opposite with catchers. You know, catchers get a little bit of a break. I think closers don't get a break at all.
No.
It's just either you're that hero or the GOAT type. And if you didn't just dominate as a closer and kept your role as a closer throughout your entire career for, you know, 15 years plus, then I think you should be in. And if you don't do that as a closer, and you're got to be on the top 10 list, but if you don't do that, it's just so much harder.
Yeah, we're going to get to Billy Wagner a little later, but that's the sweet spot of that, what you're talking about. All right, Jimmy Rollins.
No.
Nope. CC Sabathia.
Yes.
Ooh. Sabathia.
I look at Sabathia at what he did with the Brewers. I look at what he did with the Indians and even the Yankees, you know.
Yeah. He's, oh yeah.
He was, so I look at those three teams that he was on, and he was the main chess piece on all of those teams. When we went in 07 to play them, you had to beat CC, and he was coming back in. If you didn't, you were losing. The Milwaukee Brewers, when he went insane postseason that year, pitched like every 3 days. If you didn't beat CC Sabathia, you weren't winning.
Yeah.
The same thing when he went in New York. So, to me, he should be a first ballot. Or is this his third year, isn't it?
No, first.
First?
Yeah.
So first year, like I said.
Yeah. He was part of all the games that I've covered, maybe one of the definitely top five, top three memorable games. That was game five, the ALCS 2007, when, you know, you guys are down 3-1. Beckett's girlfriend singing the national, or ex-girlfriend singing the national anthem.
Ex.
And but people forget that the Cleveland was up 3-1 in that series with the Cy Young award winning pitcher on the mound in CC Sabathia.
Yep.
And you know what, Pap? That's why every single writer in Cleveland the night before got obliterated, because everyone thought it was over.
Right.
What a game.
You know, it's almost like, you know, they did the comeback series, but like really in 2007, we were just as much in a predicament as the 04 team. If not more going against CC Sabathia.
Yeah, and you have the workout day, like Ortiz, whatever, says whatever he says. So it's funny because, and you were in the middle of it, so you know better than I do. All I know is what I know. But Ortiz does like Boston, whatever, you know, bad motherfuckers, whatever it is. And then you have Manny literally saying, it's not the end of the world. Like, right?
Yeah. And that's what allowed us just to go out and play ball. And then you got Terry Francona walking throughout the clubhouse and nothing but his drawers on, being like, you guys want to go home? Is this over? Or are we going to keep playing? What are we going to do today, guys? You know, like.
So good. And then Beckett giving the ultimate badass performance. Like, we talk about his girl, like, obviously, because people don't know, Cleveland rolled out his ex-girlfriend, Daniel Peck, to sing the national anthem. Basically, he's on the mound. She's staring straight out at him, singing the national anthem. And then they roll her out for the God Bless America, too. And Beckett just, you talk about the ultimate, I mean, balls of above replacement performance. Holy man.
That was one of the biggest balls above replacement times I've ever seen. Because, like, here's the thing is, I don't think Cleveland realized what they were doing. Like, they didn't know Josh Beckett like we knew Josh Beckett. That was their worst mistake they could have ever done.
Did you close out that game?
Yes.
Yeah, because he pitched – I know he pitched eight.
Yeah.
The other thing, Kenny Lofton with a bat. Like,
yeah.
Like, it was great. It was great. And then you guys obviously go on to win. But, yes, that's a really good point by you.
And then I think, we go on to win. We go on to a little side story. We go on to win. And we go to the World Series. Well, then Carrie Underwood ends up singing the national anthem in Colorado. And I went up to Beckett and I was like, hey, man, I think you should start trying to date Carrie Underwood now. He was like, nah, she's too short for me. Like, okay, whatever. Not short for me.
All right. So good times with CeCe Sabathia. All right. This guy has to be in, man. Like, this guy has to be Ichiro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Ichiro. The greatest Japanese player since Shohei Ohtani.
How hard was it, like, as a pitcher? This is, again, perspective that I don't have. He must have been one of the toughest guys to get out, right?
You know, he was, but for me, I have to go back and look at it. I think I had really good stats against Ichiro, just because simply I don't think I threw him. I knew that Ichiro could take you yard if he wanted to, but I knew most of the times in a tight run game, which I was pitching in, he wasn't trying to take you yard. He was trying to get that base runner, that catalyst. So most of the times I threw it right down the middle to him and said, take me yard, you know, and he just happened to get a little bit too big. And I think he popped up mostly against me, but first ballot, no doubt.
Yeah. I'm trying to look it up right now, what you were against him, but it's a good point by you. I mean, hold on 1 second. I'm going to find this. It's very important. All right, so he was just 3 for 12 against you. No extra base hits, 3 strikeouts. Yeah, so
dominating. I don't really remember him dominating me too much. I used his advantages to my advantages, so I knew what he was trying to do most of the time. But greatest Japanese player we've seen since Shohei.
All right, so we have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 left. And you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You already have 9. And so it's fine if you go over 10, but we're going to have to go out and back and pair. You're going to have to take one out if we do that. All right, here we go.
All right, go ahead.
Troy Tulowitzki.
No.
Okay. Really good player for a little bit, but no.
Yeah.
Chase Utley.
No.
No. Same thing.
Yeah, I mean, good player. Great. I mean, good teammate. I just stuck around for a while. He might eventually get on just because he's kind of – last 4 years of it.
Yeah, I mean, Pap, I mean, this is his second year. And last year he had 28.8. It was – that's pretty – not terrible. That's not terrible.
See, here's the people in Philly. They love him. The Philly people love him. Philly writers love him. Because he was kind of like a yes man, never controversial. So all the writers I knew loved him. But to me, it was the last like 6 years of his career, I think. He was always hurt. I mean, when I got there, I think he only played 60 games. And then after that, maybe another 60 the next year.
Yeah.
So to me, he was always hurt. He just didn't play enough towards the end of his career.
Omar Vizquel.
No.
Billy Wagner.
Boom. Yes. There's my final.
I got two more. You can add these guys if you want. But Billy Wagner, he is going to get in. He's at 73.8. I thought he was going to get in. And you played with him, obviously. You know him. He should be in by now. I love the fact that when he's come on the podcast a bunch of times. We appreciate it. And I love the fact that he just like really is honest about really wanting to be a Hall of Famer. Like he's just honest about it.
And that's Billy for you. You know, yeah. Billy doesn't sugarcoat anything. He's going to tell you straight up how he thinks and how he feels. And what a great teammate, man. You know, I just wish he could have got in earlier because, you know, to me, he was one of the guys I watched coming up, no doubt, you know. But you look at how he has put together a career that is unmatched by any other closer, in my opinion, really and truthfully. Mm-hmm. And the stature of the man to go along with what he threw was even better, man. And we want to talk about Barr. He's a 10, man. Like, this guy's got a huge sack of him.
Did you know him at all before he was went to you guys? What was it?
No, he called me, though, and he was like, hey, look, you know, I'm coming here to try to win a championship, end of story. And I said, come on, brother, let's go. We had Bobby Jinks. I was never like, oh, no, don't bring somebody to come help our bullpen because I might lose my job. Mm-hmm. Well, I never thought that way.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought, I don't give a shit if it's bring Daniel Bard up, bring Bobby Jenks in, bring Billy Wagner in, bring Eric Gagne in. Mm-hmm. I don't care who it is. Like, the cream will rise. And the closer will be the closer, whoever it is. And I always loved competition. It was always fun and great. And I accepted it and loved it. But he called me and he was like, look, man, we're here to do one thing. And he really put that in perspective for me. So,
That's cool. That's good. Yeah, that's good. That's good to hear. Like, again, he's going to get in. If he doesn't get in, there should be an investigation. There's two more. And again, you're at 10, but you can pick one of these guys and we'll have to pare one of them down. David Wright.
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And it surprises me how much he's gotten voted so far, too. A great guy. I mean,
well, he sneaked in. Like, he snuck in. Yeah. He barely kept on the ballot, 6.2.
So. It probably won't be on next year.
No. Last one, Ben Zobrist.
Nope.
Okay. All right, hey, you landed at 10.
I told you I would.
Look at you. Look at you, science. Science and math.
Yeah,
and you know what? The lesson to be learned is that if you just stick with the most important stat, which is balls above replacement, you'll land at a good place.
Yeah, and if you notice, all my selections are really big Bar guys.